Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to the program. It is Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchett, your host out here in Las Vegas. Your other host is Josh Applebaum out in Boston. Happy to have in studio with us Major League Baseball pitcher Josh Towers. Josh, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing great. Great to have you on, my man.
Hey, maybe my least favorite place to ever go when we played Boston.
Was it?
I used to tell him, I was like, if we don't ever have to come back here, I'm good.
Because of the monster? Or?
Well, yeah, I definitely didn't pitch well there. That's for sure. And they were always good. The one thing I respected about Boston was the fans. Their commitment from the first pitch on in the first inning. Yeah. And there could be a situation where it's like second and third and two outs in the first in a 0-0 game. And they knew the importance of it. So I will give them that. Mm-hmm. But just the whole thing is general. I was like, I can avoid this place.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited about betting baseball like Josh is. And for bettors out there right now, you hear comments from Sheffield saying, okay, you can't even watch this game now. Your perspective as a major leaguer, and then also combine that into from a betting perspective, if there's any angles that you've noticed so far.
So I appreciate the Sheffields, the John Smoltz's. I appreciate these guys who have big names, whether they're Hall of Famers or not, when they come out and publicly talk about this stuff. It's one thing to have somebody like myself, who I don't carry a name in baseball. I played, some people might go, who? Or I think it doesn't carry as much weight. Mm-hmm. I gripe a lot. I'm on Twitter a lot. I watch this game, and I stay involved in many aspects from all the guys we have in here and what we do and the kids getting ready to go. And I'm 100% on board. It's not me, some grumpy old player complaining. It's not. It is the worst version of what I think Major League Baseball has ever been. I understand it through a development aspect from what I've seen the last couple of years, y'all. And they just – as a whole, now there's a lot of good people in the game still, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But as a whole, they don't want to teach anymore. They want a faster approach. It reminds me of like us in general. Like we always like fast food and we want it quick. We want it now. We want to hurry. That's not the reality when you're trying to create something that's as next level as professional athletes. You've been there. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes we all develop differently. Just because you take me in the first doesn't mean I'm a guaranteed professional big leaguer. Mm-hmm. It also doesn't mean that I'm ready in 1 year. It could still take five. It could take a little bit of time. The way we're going about the development process is basically eliminating it. Major League Baseball is changing rules to assist that. And so we're getting guys that are talented, but the reality is they're not Major League Baseball players right now. They are not ready. And from a generalized standpoint, as outskirts looking in, as amateurs, we don't realize that. We don't see. We just see what's on television, the product and the players, and we assume that they're really good. The closer we get, which we are, to taking amateurs to the major league level, let you know that it is in a very bad place, just as I see that happening. So there's a huge separation.
Okay.
It shouldn't happen. And again, the product, I feel so bad. I've always said this the last couple of years. I feel so bad for minor league baseball players right now because they do not know. They just know what they're being told. They assume it's correct because they're in professional organizations, and they don't realize until at some point something happens or it's too late that, oh, my God, I wasn't being taught anything. And so I respect guys like that who have huge names to come out and say something because I think it's very, very important for what's happening. This is an advanced level sport that you should earn it. Mm-hmm. So there's more to it, but yeah, I'm on board.
Josh, I'm right there with you, and hopefully maybe Theo Epstein, the fact that he left the Cubs trying to work for the commissioner. You know, I think, you know, I'm a big baseball fan, but I've been my whole life, but I think it's the fact that it's a home run, it's a walk, or it's a strikeout. You know, that's really hurt the game a lot. Talking about shifts too, I don't know how you feel about this, but if you eliminate the shift and just say draw a line at second base, you can only have two guys on either side of the second base line, and maybe that opens up more base hits to get back to old school baseball. But what I want to ask you, Josh, is basically in baseball this year, what we've seen is underdogs do very, very well. You know, we led off the show with this year, but they're 115 and 119. You're five games under 500, but because you're getting plus 120, plus 130, you're doing very, very well. You're up 34 units. So I wanted to ask you, you know, as a former player, was it early in the season there was variance, you didn't know who's good, who's bad? That's an opportunity for a lot of these dogs to do well, and then, you know, deeper in the season the favorites kind of show their dominance and perform better? Or is this something to do with the league this year where maybe it's just going to be a dog year? Maybe that, you know, we know the Dodgers are great, but is there more parity here? Just your take on dogs doing so well, and if you think that can translate the rest of the year.
Yeah, so it's always different the beginning of the season. I compare it to March Madness in the first round all the time. Like, we're all equal. The season started. We're excited. We don't know anything yet. I haven't had time to succeed or fail. I just know it's here, and I'm ready to go. So it makes us equal. A lot of the true veterans of the game of baseball understand who they are and what it takes to get ready and win, and they don't press too much. Younger guys seem to press. It's stats and everything means something a lot more. It takes a lot of us time to get into rhythm. So when you find like certain teams that have that veteran experience, like, we don't panic on them. When we have a younger team, a couple years ago, I thought the Phillies were one of the best teams in baseball, but I was telling everybody, when August comes around, they are going to fade, and then this whole great start is going to go away, because I don't know how to finish a season. I don't know how to back off when I need to. I don't know how to overly stress certain situations that I don't need to. Guys like Pat Hankin and Mike Bordick would tell me all the time, Josh, we don't get too high on the high and too low on the lows. It's too long of a season. We have to stay even keel. So there are a little bit, and sometimes an overreaction to some of the things that are happening. Mm-hmm. I don't expect the Mariners to continue to be this good, but there's an excitement right now of who they are. And then hot weather is going to creep in. Travel gets on you a little bit. We'll see how the Jays handle not playing in Toronto. There's a lot of things that will factor. So I don't think that some of these hot starts or some of these cold starts are going to be consistent, but you got to understand their coaching staff, their manager, and some of the vets they have around. So, and again, going back, Josh, to like, as bad as what we're talking about, that I feel, Sheffield feels, some of these people, David Ortiz was commenting about it. He didn't like it. As bad as we feel the game is, it's becoming almost universally around the league.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, do I change the way I bet based on this? And the answer to me generalizes no, because everybody's kind of doing the same stuff. So if I'm doing something kind of crazy, that doesn't mean this team over here is actually doing something very well. They're kind of doing it crazy too, but they just might have, you know, different players or better players. So I love also the fact that Epstein, like, there was a reason he left Chicago. I appreciate him going to MLB. I thought about him yesterday with the Cubs game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, I didn't know that's where he was, but I was wondering, because I'm a big Joe Torre guy. I thought when he came in, they made a lot of bad decisions. I think that they're making decisions based off what they feel the fan wants and what they're reading in the headlines. It's also contradicting some of the things that they say they want. The rules are offsetting. So maybe Theo could be a great voice, because he was phenomenal, Josh, where you're at in Boston. He was phenomenal in Chicago. And he's a great baseball mind who doesn't overreact.
Yeah, you know, Josh Applebaum and myself, we were talking about the Dodgers and the Mariners, maybe a letdown because of that series that they had with the Padres. And we have a situation where the Dodgers, the line has actually moved towards Seattle in this one. I want to ask you about Chicago and Cleveland, because you have Rodon on the mound, on the bump again, off of a perfect game. He should have had a perfect game. Mm-hmm. I should ask you about that. Somebody he didn't move out the way, right? He had the no-hitter, certainly.
Yeah.
But here you have the White Sox favorite because of the performance off of his performance last time. But Cleveland's been a little bit savvy as well.
Yeah, they have a structure to which they approach the game, and a commitment to hustle. Their manager's very good, Cleveland, that is. Plesak has been pretty good. The ERA is on the higher side. He's 1-2, but, mm-hmm. you know, I'm comfortable with him. This is an automatic, and again, it's kind of like betting, as we discussed with the dogs, y'all, it's like betting against Jacob deGrom. Bet against Jacob deGrom every single time, but don't try to cherry pick win, because, you know, they're under 500 since 2018 with him on the mound. Barely, like six games or five games, but that is always minus 200s, minus 180s. You're always getting such great value that our return is even better than the fact that they're under 500. So it's not a cherry picking. It's something very, very consistent. This is my philosophy on perfect games and no hitters. I always bet against the guy who threw it his very next start every time. I don't care who's on the mound. I don't care who the team is. It doesn't matter to me. It's because we get, and I used to see it all the time when I play, we get so distracted by the media and our obligations, and it's such a cool thing that doesn't happen. So I'm getting pulled from different networks that maybe I've never been on. I'm trying to stick to my same routine as preparing, but there's always something that has to go on with the team or whatever. And so I lose a little bit of my focus time. And then if I had been okay or kind of struggling coming in, like there's an emphasis on what I'm trying to accomplish to get back to who I am. And sometimes when we go and we're doing well, we just kind of go on autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how much this he appreciated this game because of where he's been and getting non-tender in the offseason. And I think that he's going to consistently have a good year this season based on what he's playing for. You know, kind of like it's taken away from you and now you got to earn it again. He's in that spot. But we know that there has been struggles. And again, with what I feel are distractions, you see it all the time. Guys do tons of commercials in the offseason, football players, and all of a sudden they're not having a good year. Again, if I'm pulled away from my commitment to training, it does affect me whether I believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my automatic play against on games like this.
No, I'm totally with you, Josh. Great point. You did see with that Chicago White Sox-Cleveland line. I mean, the White Sox were around a minus 115 favorite. Not a huge move, but a little move here to the Indians. That would also match some things I look for. Divisional dogs in general doing pretty well. You also have some pretty bad weather in that game, wind blowing in, so some under liability there. Josh, I wanted to get your take overall and then on the game tonight, just your thoughts on the Yankees here. Yankees, we have a lot of teams that have surprised us, like the Mariners, like even mm-hmm. my Red Sox, who are had a bad first weekend, but then have been great ever since. The Yankees 5-10, they're hitting .210. They've really, really struggled here. They're at home now against Atlanta, who has no Ronald Acuna in the lineup here. Their tie on against Morton. The Yankees had some movement. They're around minus 115 up to around minus 120. But what do you think? Is this a spot to buy low on the Yankees or just this season? Is this just a bad start or do you have concerns about the Yankees this year?
I do have concerns. I mean, coming in, I had them winning that division. It seems to be a little bit worse than I think. And again, you know, on one hand, I say don't overreact too early. On the other hand, there's a lot of pressure that comes out of New York that's not on any other team in any other city. It's different. They got a lot of things they need to figure out, and the pitching is the least of my worries with this team. With Tyone and Kluber, like, you knew that you need to fill an out process anyways. You got guys coming back later. But the offense, I don't understand. The Yankees, for me, y'all, this is my favorite thing as an outsider looking into the Yankees before I played there because I respect that organization tremendously. My favorite thing was it didn't matter if I gave you $12 million, $15 million, $20 million. It did not matter what I gave you. If you were not doing your job, they would sit you and find somebody else to do it until you figured out what was going on. It doesn't seem to be that way anymore. It's like I gave you a contract, so automatically you're assumed to be good. And Aaron Hicks... Sorry, Aaron. He's not very good. He's just not. And Giancarlo Stanton is one of the worst players in the game, and he's never been good since he got to New York. But we can't accept that because we know his name and because he had one good season with the Marlins where he won the MVP, and we gave him a huge contract, right? So the assumption is of knowing their names and high contracts that they're good. It's not the reality. Aaron Hicks, long-term, 8 years, $80 million, was a very good deal by the Yankees to have somebody to plug in. It was never a contract that we thought he was going to be Mike Trout.
Okay.
I think that's lost. To continue to plug those guys in a three-four hole slot, you're giving me free outs nonstop. And a majority of the time with their swings, it's not me game planning correctly every pitcher around the league. They truly get themselves out. And then what happens at that point? I'm relying on younger guys. I'm relying on other guys to do the majority of the work. Why don't I bench him? Why don't I put him somewhere else in the lineup?
Mm-hmm.
Put Hicks 9. Put Giancarlo Stanton 8. You want to scare me as a pitcher? Put those two 8 and 9 and see what happens. It
wow.
changes my whole perspective. So they have so many offensive questions they need to answer. And obviously the one guy I can always count on is LeMahieu, but he's going to have some protection at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. How about this matchup, St. Louis, Washington? You got Wainwright and Corbin on the bump for both of these teams. The Nationals up against it with their rotation already. They hit the ball, can't score. How do you see this game?
Yeah, I thought that the offense was going to be so much better this season than we kind of initially thought coming in, and I still think that. Question marks with the pitching, obviously Strasburg dinged up again, and then Corbin, his last start was bad. We have those. Giolito had one yesterday, mm-hmm. I believe. And
got roughed up.
Yeah, it's early. It's like an 8 o'clock start to us. Your body's not awake. It's a tough adjustment. The game that I saw with Corbin the other day where he gave up, I think, basically 10 in the first two, I think he's hurt.
Okay.
If I didn't know and I haven't researched, I don't know anybody there that I've asked any questions to, just by watching a couple pitches that I saw him throw where they were supposed to be and how they got to where they ended up, right away I thought that's not me having reservation in this pitch where I don't trust it. That's a completely different feeling. I don't think that he's healthy. I hope I'm wrong. And it's something that he just had a bad start to the season. But at this point, based off of what I saw, you know, because sometimes guys have a bad game and then you have faith in pitching them the next game. It's, again, that comes to the work ethic. I don't think that's the case with Corbin. I couldn't jump on this game. But the Cardinals has also given me reasons to not really trust them. So, like, when I look at it, it becomes almost tempting, but then it becomes a pretty big stay away for me at this point.
Josh, would love to talk every game with you. I love having you on the show.
I know, right?
Only 30 seconds. I wish we could go all day. But just your thoughts on the Cubbies tonight. Cubbies have struggled hitting, pitching. They're, you know, bottom five in baseball. But the line's moving toward them. It's a night game at Wrigley under the lights. Mets were minus 135. They're down to 125. Any reason to buy low on the Cubs?
What's that? Trick me once, shame on you. Trick me twice, shame on me. I bet the Cubs Sunday thinking that they would come out better. They got a lot of question marks, too. It's really tough for me to back them. But then again, we got the unquestionable Mets as well. This is another one that it's a tough game for me to get on just because of the uncertainties of both.
Josh Towers, thanks for your time as
always. Absolutely. Thank you, boys. Appreciate it.
We could do this all the time. We can.
I love it.
We'll continue with baseball with Josh Applebaum and his market insights. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. When you're hiring, there's no luxury of time. So instead of waiting for people to see your sponsored posts, invite them to apply. Get more at Indeed.com/credit. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host from Vegas. Your other host is Josh Applebaum out there in Boston. That was incredible. The last segment with Josh Tower is just an amazing insight when it comes to the game of baseball.
Yeah, I love it when Josh Towers comes on the show because, again, it's like working with you, a former pro star here. I get to throw my analytics and data, my nerdy stuff at a pro player and see what they think. And he just got fantastic insights here, Pritch. One update before we keep going here. I wanted to mention, unfortunately, just had a game canceled, Pittsburgh-Detroit. I was actually on Pittsburgh there as a dog with a little line movement in their favor. That game just got postponed due to weather. And then also, Pritch, a Schefter tweet that just came out. Looks like Carolina Panthers, according to Schefter, have had some conversations about potentially trading back in the draft, giving up their eight, coming back, you know, falling later in the draft to acquire some picks here. So I don't know how that may affect some of these props here. But again, Pirates game postponed, and maybe the Panthers trading out at number eight here.
Somebody's phones are busy today because the Dolphins were getting calls. Now number eight, I guess they couldn't come to an agreement on a trade there. So somebody's getting to number eight. Somebody's trying to get into the top 10. Probably for a quarterback, you would think, right?
I would love for that to be on the other line. This is Bill Belichick. What do you think about trading the eight for a seven and a four? I don't know. But that would be great, Pritch. But this, I love this. Again, you know, this it kind of just interesting. How is this? Who are these teams moving up for? Why are they moving back? How does this, you know, have kind of implications on these prop opportunities here if a team is focusing on a player? A lot of balls in the air right now. But again, stay glued to Twitter. Not only monitoring NBA injuries, Pritch, but all this draft stuff.
I know. I mean, I cannot wait for this draft and certainly get an opportunity to bet on it. I was talking to a longtime NFL, I'll say evaluator, long time, well known. And I asked him the question about, you know, are we going to see some craziness, some shenanigans, a lot of trades perhaps? And he said, don't be surprised. And already, like you mentioned today, from Schefter and the Miami Dolphins, I mean, teams in the top 10 fielding all kinds of calls, as well as the Atlanta Falcons.
Great point by you, Pritch. And I think now that I think about it, just an X factor. Remember last year, compare last year to this year. Last year, COVID hit. You know, I was struggling because I didn't have much to bet on other than UFC, golf, and NASCAR. But remember going back to that NFL draft, you had everyone remotely. You had people in their basement. You had Bill Belichick on Nantucket with his dog making the picks there. So now we're getting kind of back to normal where maybe the lines of communication are a little bit easier. You're in your war room in your stadium. I don't know. I just wonder if hey, the kind of the back to normal business as usual, going back to the old way, does that make it easier to communicate with other teams, to make deals, to trade? Maybe that has something to do with it. Or it's just, hey, a lot of teams have, you know, their eyes on a certain player. They got to move up, move down. But maybe the fact that we're kind of getting back to normal, maybe that increases the activity around the draft.
Okay, sticking with baseball here, Chicago, Cleveland, are you on the dog in this one? Cleveland plus 102, 7.5 is the total in this game.
I am on the dog here, Pritch. So I took a shot here on the Cleveland Indians. I like this spot for a couple different reasons. Number one, and this is why Josh Towers is the best, I always kind of had an inkling of, you know, betting against the player after they throw a no-hitter. You actually saw it with Joe Musgrove, although I think he had a start in between last night. But Rodon coming off that no-no, again, you know, is he, I don't know, maybe it all this attention that he's gotten, does it get to him at all? I think you're in a Vilo style with the Indians. This matches a bunch of different systems for me, Rich. Number one, dogs. Dogs in general doing very well, but the key is layer on more variables. Dogs with a line move. You're seeing any type of movement toward a dog, indication of usually respected money because the public loves favorites. They've done well this year, about a 7% return on investment. So you saw the White Sox open. This isn't a huge move, but they were minus 115. They're down to 112. The line's moving to the Cleveland Indians. I think if you like the Indians, you want to get as much plus money as you can because they're plus 102, but I see some shops plus 101. I see a minus 101. And you may not think like this matters a lot, but when you're betting baseball daily, if you're consistently getting a plus 102 instead of a minus 101, again, one day, 3 cents, you know, is not going to make a difference, but extrapolate that over the course of a year. Those units, you know, add up and build up here. So the tribe at home with a line move in their favor, divisional dog, something that I love, and also betting against that, you know, that player coming off a no-no. So give me the tribe here, Pritch. Hopefully they get it done.
Yeah, I was going to ask Josh about the fact that that guy didn't move. And I mean, you got the perfect game. It's right there. And then all of a sudden it turns into a no-hitter. Are you disappointed in that? Probably not. I mean, it's a no-hitter, certainly, and a great performance. Giolito got roughed up. We see that in Major League Baseball. So keeping an eye on those games. I want to ask you about a game that's had significant line movement, Josh, and I got to get your market insight on that. And also the market insight on the NBA. We got a short schedule there in the association. All that and more coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As you know, football season never ends. Therefore, it's time to get your bets ready for the NFL draft. The teams are evaluating the prospects, and our football experts are looking for betting opportunities. We're looking at team needs, position props, and futures market to find the best bets on the board. Get full coverage on VSiN.com. Get our daily best bet email updates, 24/7 video access. Plus, we'll be live all night during round one. With Brent Musburger, Michael Lombardi, Gil Alexander, and Mike Pritchard, and all of our VSiN football experts. So learn more and start your free trial now at VSiN.com, VSIN.com. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you. The association, Josh, your market insight is needed, definitely. Because I don't know where to go with the NBA. We had JVT on yesterday, and he was awesome as always. But then you look at the games, and I went 1-2 last night with the NBA. So I had three plays out there. Magic and the Hawks, what do you think of this game? What have you seen with this game?
Yeah, so number one, Pritch, we talk about the NBA and poor JVT because he's held up as the defender of the NBA because that's his sport, but it is really difficult here. So, Pritch, you go 1-2 in the NBA, I would not be very upset about that. I mean, it's very, very difficult. You look at last night, you know, Simmons being out. Before that, there was a line move to Philly. They end up losing outright. My Celtics looked good for a while, and then Marcus Smart and Kemba are out of nowhere. So a lot of these lines are really, really difficult. To me, my new rule, Pritch, is I'm not betting an NBA game until 6 o'clock Eastern time. Okay. I just like, if you bet a game too early, I think you're just going to set yourself up for, yeah, you may get a good number, but also you may have all your hard work thrown out the window when these guys are ruled out of nowhere, guys you expect or guys you don't expect, like Simmons last night. So look at the Magic and the Hawks here, Pritch. You know, the first thing I noticed is big line here. You know, this open Hawks around minus 12, got up to 12.5. You're seeing a little bit of buyback here on the 12.5. Of course, looking at the injury report, first thing you ask yourself is, Trae Young. Looks like Trae Young should be good to go here. They're still missing Gallinari, some of these other guys, DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish. But this is a long-winded way of saying a little bit on the Magic plus the points. I don't love this play, but it's notable that you have a lot of betting here on the Hawks, the Magic. And you'll see this as we get late into the NBA season. Basically, the public is going to identify who they think stinks and is tanking and mm-hmm. who's pushing for a playoff spot and is going to play well. So on the one hand, you know, betting against these tanking teams can be profitable, but not when it's a huge public, you know, favorite or getting the worst of the number. What I like about a little bit, and the reason why, to me, it's either layoff or grab the Magic in the points, only because heavy betting on the Hawks, but yet this 12.5 looks like it's coming down to 12. So you're seeing a little bit of money based on the juice, you know, these plus 12.5 for the Magic. Around minus 115, minus 120. So it looks like it's moving quickly. If you can get the hook, I'd lean a little bit Magic here. The other systems that I would have a match on here, you do look at these double-digit dogs have been pretty decent around the last 5 years. They're around 54%, especially in division games. So a little lean to the Magics. But again, to me, Pritch, to be totally honest with you, it's a baseball day and a hockey day. I don't see a lot of the NBA, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a short schedule. And then, like you said, I mean, I like that rule, by the way, 6 p.m. Eastern. That's when you – but, I mean, how do you – right, I get it. But how do you, I guess, capitalize on the number, though? I mean, if you wait, I mean, the odds could change. And so you kind of have to factor all that in with that decision.
Yeah, it's definitely tough. And again, I would love another rule. Like, you know, you got like if I was Adam Silver, I would say, guys, by 5 o'clock, I got to know who's in and who's out. Right. And if you don't meet that 5 o'clock deadline, I'm sorry. It's too late because this is why. And again, the NBA, Adam Silver, they were one of the biggest leagues early on to embrace legalized sports betting. You saw Adam Silver write that op-ed in the New York Times calling for legalization of sports. I think it was 2012, 2014. Right. But this is what's going to really aggravate their fans if you want to bet on the sport. Yet you're always getting crushed here when these guys are out of nowhere and your line completely gets destroyed. So my other thought here, Pritch, is, you know, in baseball, when you have action or listed pitcher, maybe, and basically if you bet action, you're tied to your bet no matter what. If you bet listed pitcher, your bet is voided if either starting pitcher gets scratched. Let's make an NBA listed starter or something like that, where, you know, if one of your big name guys is out, your bet gets voided. That's never going to happen, but you know, that's one way to maybe guard against it. But it's tough. You know, on the one hand, you want to bet a number early and beat the closing line and anticipate a move. But on the other hand, it's like, you know, how many times can I go through this dance of loving a game at 1 o'clock, and then by 6 o'clock, three of the starters are out. Again, to me, it's like wait, lay off, or maximize your edge. If MLB's treating you well, if the NHL is doing well for you, favorites are crushing right now in the NHL, you know, gravitate to the sports that maybe are a little more secure in expecting who's going to play and not being surprised by these late, you know, injuries and guys being scratched.
Yeah, I love that. Great advice again, Josh. The Clippers in Portland, significant movement here with the total, not so much with the spread, but certainly with that total in this matchup.
Yeah, you're totally right here, Pritch. So this was a big move here to the under. Here's the other thing. As soon as these guys get out, sometimes, you know, you'll see this big dip to the under where if you can bet it early, you feel good. But if you're late to the party, I guess my other thing, just thinking out loud here, is the NBA is a sport. You got to have access to multiple sports books because you'll see a lot of books that are considered market movers or first to the market that will immediately take the line down or move the number on an injury. There are other books that are a little bit slower. They're your copycat books, your quote unquote square books that may hang that number up a little bit later, which you can take advantage of. But that's only the ability to take advantage of if you have already open accounts at more than one book. So you do see with this Clippers game, obviously injury wise, Nurkic looks like he's out for rest. Lillard is still out here. You saw that total fall. I think it was like 226 down to 223.5. As of now, Kawhi looks like he's going to play. But again, here's a late game where let's see where this thing develops. The one game that I do like here, Pritch, just to throw it at you.
There is one. Okay, good.
there's only one, literally. And maybe we'll see later in the night. Maybe something might come up. But the Hornets and the Knicks total. Mm-hmm. This one caught my eye because I've had a system that's done pretty well here with these low totals going over. And with this total, it's very, very low, Hornets-Knicks. It opened at around 208. You know, some books were 207.5 up to 208. But it's the lowest total of the night. And what I think you can capitalize on here, Pritch, is the fact that kind of go against the prevailing notion that the Knicks, yes, they're one of the best defensive teams. I think they may be the best defensive team in the NBA in terms of points allowed and field goal percentage and all that. But when the public gets hammered with the fact that the Knicks are so great on defense, you have this kind of bias where a lot of the public wants to take an under with the Knicks, which they have been an under team, 33 and 24. But if you look recently, they've cashed four straight overs. You know, you do have one injury to keep an eye out with the Hornets is Devontae Graham. He's questionable. You know, okay. You want him in to maybe add some offense. But this is a long-winded answer of saying I took a play on the over here, Pritch. Over 207.5, you can get it. There's some 208s out there. But a low total over with a Knicks team that recently has been trending to the over. Maybe get some points in that one. And LaMelo Ball, I don't know if he's tonight, but he's coming back soon. And he's back at the favorite to win Rookie of the Year.
Okay, outstanding right there. One play in the NBA, I believe, right there with the Knicks and the Hornets. How about more leans and picks from hockey and Major League Baseball? That's coming up next. We all love home runs in Major League Baseball, especially if you are a new BetMGM customer. Turn $1 into $100 when someone goes yard during a game. Sign up for the BetMGM app using VSIN 100, and if you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Yankees or Braves, you will win $100 if either team hits a home run. It's a new customer offer and paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan. Disassociated persons, please gamble responsibly. If you feel you have a problem, it's 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana and Tennessee. Call or text the red line 800-889-9789. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the show, Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, Josh Applebaum with you today. 0-0 game, the Dodgers and the Mariners. Top of the third there, Josh. So leans and picks, you know, we didn't touch on hockey too much, but like you mentioned, it's chalky, but yet chance to cash tickets. So what do you have there in the NHL?
Yeah. So I think I try to keep an eye on, you know, just overall trends, and Dave Tooley at VSiN does a fantastic job in the VSiN newsletter, VSiN.com/newsletter for free. You'll get the updates every single day. Dave tweets it out. He does a great job as well there. But, we mentioned this during the show, dogs in Major League Baseball doing great. But NHL, it's a big favorite sport, and it's been a really, really, really good year to bet favorites. If you look at so far this year, favorites are 428 and 257. That's a 62.5% win rate. Of course, when you're laying these minus numbers, you got to win at an even higher rate in order to overcome the minus prices you're laying. But if you bet every favorite this year, you're up 21 units. $100 guy is up about $2,100 overall. So one of my favorite spots, favorites off a loss. You're up 26 units, favorites minus 150 or more with a high total. You're up about 10, big steam to favorites, rested favorites. All these different spots are important. And again, I'm a contrarian better, but I don't want to be a stubborn contrarian and be the smartest losing better. You know, again, I want to win. The bottom line is winning. So you have seen these favorites do very, very well here, Pritch. So just want to keep an eye out for my Bruins. They made a bunch of great trade deadline acquisitions. Don Sweeney got Taylor Hall to play with Krejci, picked up a defenseman, Mike Riley, a fourth liner, Curtis Lazar. And this is a huge number. So this is kind of a gross play in that you're laying a really big number here. But I have a lot of system matches on the Bruins. It's a 6:30 p.m. game, a little bit earlier than usual here. But the Bruins open around minus 280. They're up to minus 300. And what you've seen in this one, big favorites, minus 200 or more. They're 74% this year. Road favorites with a line move, 63% this year. Steam of 20 cents or more, 71%. And the Bruins are 3-0 against Buffalo here so far this season. So it's a huge number. But what I always say when you're betting hockey, it's bet to risk, not bet to win.
Right.
I'm risking one unit on the Bruins tonight. I'm trying to get a third of a unit back. That may not seem like a big deal, but the big deal here is if the Bruins lose this game and you lay three units to win one, you lose three units instead of just losing one on that favorite. So again, it's a chalky sport, but I wouldn't stubbornly go against something that works just because you know, you're programmed to be a dog better as a contrarian. The key with hockey is there's really no public, Pritch. It's you, me, and mm-hmm. diehards betting hockey. It's not the public, you know, waking up saying, I got to bet Bruins, Buffalo. So I think that kind of gives you a little bit of confidence that, hey, there's no contrarian value, really. It's more line movement, system plays, and favorites in general that have done well. The other one that I just want to throw at you real quick, Pritch, keep an eye on the Florida Panthers against Columbus here. Florida has owned Columbus so far this season. The other thing is, like, in the NHL, post-trade deadline, teams that have totally kind of traded away their guys or given up versus teams that are making a push here. The Blue Jackets have lost a ton of games in a row. Florida is 6-1 against the Blue Jackets here. They're going to start this young kid, Spencer Knight, with the Panthers. Used to play at BC. He's a great young goalie here. He's going to make his debut. I know it's a big number, but a lot of the system matches that matched on the Bruins, big favorites, 200 or more, back-to-back, take a favorite, matching there as well with Florida. So a couple big favorites there, but remember, it's bet to risk, not bet to win. It's your one unit trying to get a half unit back here with the Panthers.
Yeah, my one unit got burned one time, Josh. Minus 300. I'm trying to remember to play. But overall, I've been...
I remember that game.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing well with hockey, certainly. But maybe inclined with the Panthers minus 205 as they have owned Columbus there, the Blue Jackets, this season. I want to turn your attention to a line move that I noticed. Game one, Minnesota and Oakland. Oakland went from a home favorite to a home dog. I mean, what have you seen with this matchup in this game?
Yeah, you have seen, you know, there was some COVID stuff going on with Minnesota. They've had some games canceled here. You're getting into your doubleheaders. So you're right, Pritch. You did see a movement toward the Twins here. I look a little bit at Minnesota. You know, obviously there's been a layoff here, but this would be that road dog spot. And again, road dogs, this is one of the best dog spots this year. They're 73-74, one game below 500, but you're up around 26 units overall. So the fact that you have this big movement toward the Twins, again, the Twins going from, you know, they open, I think they're like plus 120, plus 125, something like that. Lines dropping as we speak. So I would lean there with the Twins. And you also have, you know, kind of a high total, a 6.5 for a 7-inning game. You're getting, you know, you kind of compare that to a 9-inning game, you're a little bit higher overall. But the other thing that I would suggest with doubleheaders, talk about it a lot, Pritch, but there's more sweeps than splits, and you like favorites in game two of a doubleheader. So keep an eye on game two. It's Berrios against Lizardo. And again, a lot of people are programmed to think, hey, you know, you're going to split these doubleheaders. You lose the first one. You're going to be really, you know, kind of locked in to get it back and win the second. Mm-hmm. But there are more sweeps than splits, and game two favorites, especially game two favorites off a win with a line move, do well. For game two, Minnesota is minus 119. They actually open, I think they're like minus 110. So keep an eye on this, these doubleheaders, these 7-inning games. There can be some value here, especially looking at lineups. You know, again, guys who played in the first game maybe are sitting the second, or bullpen usage. Did you use your whole bullpen in the first game? Whereas, you know, in the second game, you have to throw some guys that maybe are in spots that they shouldn't be in.
Okay, then we got San Francisco and the Phillies going at it. Phillies minus 141 now. 8.5 is a total in this game as well.
Yeah, this is a gross dog for me today. Okay. San Francisco. So San Fran came up big yesterday. San Fran had a 2-0 win. And San Fran's quietly been a really good under team. They're 12-4 to the under, and they've cashed in a ton of unders in these low scoring spots. They pitch well, they don't hit great. That's a great recipe for unders. But I'm kind of going back to the well with San Fran here. It didn't really jump out to me until probably the last hour or so, but I've seen some money come in on the Giants here. At the beginning, it was a big Philly play with Zach Wheeler on the mound, you know, one of their aces here with Nola. Big popular play with Philly, expecting them to bounce back here at home against the Giants. Yet Philly's fallen around minus 155. They're now minus 140. This line is dropping toward the Giants here. The Giants would match those systems that we like. Dogs doing well, road dogs, road dog line moves, dogs off a win, all matching here with the Giants. So I'd be looking at another Giants play here, Pritch. And again, here's the key with these dogs. We may talk five dogs today. If you can go 2-3, you're going to turn a profit because of these plus money payouts. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, now we got to get to your grossest play of the day, because that was a gross play. Now we got to get to your grossest play of the day. Here you have the Brewers and the Padres in this matchup.
I got the Brew Crew here, Pritch. I like the Brew Crew spot. Number one, this is another gambler's fallacy where San Diego is a great team. A lot of young studs. Tatis is back. They're at home. They got to win tonight. And again, it was a letdown yesterday because they actually had a lot of steam. I think they were about 10-15 cent move in their direction, and they lost 3-1 last night. But public's loading up. It's your late game here. Big majority of bets, lopsided play towards San Diego. But Pritch, keep an eye on Corbin Burnes. This guy kind of has come out of nowhere. If you look at his game log and his splits over the last, I'd say maybe year and a half, 2 years, he's quietly one of the best pitchers in baseball. So what I like about this one is heavy betting San Diego, got to bounce back when at home. But the Padres open around minus 120. They're down to minus 108. Actually, I'm seeing now this game is becoming a pick 'em. So pretty much all that plus money on the Brewers early, you know, you would have liked to got the Brewers, you know, plus 110, plus 112, plus 107, something like that. The line continues to move here toward Milwaukee. That's another road dog, dog with a line move situation. And you're really banking on Corbin Burnes, quietly a Cy Young candidate here. Maybe toss in another gem, hopefully, if you're going to bet the Brew Crew here in this one.
Yeah, I see you're staying away from Toronto and Boston today.
I lean Toronto there.
Okay, you lean Toronto. Okay.
That's another tough one. But I did see Alex Cora, manager of the Red Sox, who obviously has been a huge, important part of turning it around for the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a question mark about whether he'll manage or not tonight. He's supposed to manage, but I think he had a close contact with COVID. So if he's down, you know, again, you don't think of managers in baseball make a huge difference, but some really do. I think Cora is one of them. So keep an eye on Cora's status. But you would see with the Jays, this would match one system that I kind of like, is these teams with the one-day rest advantage. So the Jays last played on the 18th on Sunday. Red Sox played yesterday for Patriots Day. But you saw the Red Sox open very, very short, minus 115 around there. They're down to minus 110. I see them down to minus 108 at some shops. This would be a road division dog with Ryu and Toronto here. So I'd lean Toronto. Again, keep an eye on Coors status. But the edge right now, Pritch, is these dogs. So if you can layer on more reasons to bet a dog in the division, high total, line move, off a win, those are the ones you want to look at, especially with these dogs on the road.
Yeah, it's fascinating, Josh. In American League, you got Boston, Kansas City, Seattle in first place right now. I mean, we got the marathon. I get it. But out of sight, out of mind. Mariners right now 1-0, losing 1-0 in the bottom of the third inning there against the Dodgers.
Yeah, so you know me, I mentioned earlier, I'm holding the Mariners ticket here. It's 1-0. It's early, so we'll see if we can get a comeback win here. But yeah, I think, you know, again, I went into today, the biggest thing I want to mention on VSiN is, again, dogs in baseball. Mm-hmm. And what I did on my podcast today, Pritch, I want to take the temperature of the three sports we're betting every day. MLB, it's dogs. NHL, it's favorites. NBA, it's pray to the gods and don't bet a game until later in the day and hope your guys are not injured and screw up your bet.
6 p.m. Eastern. Great advice as always from Josh Applebaum. Make sure you get in on that Market Insights podcast as well. That'll do it for us today. Great job as always. Josh, we'll see you back here tomorrow.
Good luck tonight, Bridge.
You too. Pleasure. Good luck. Absolutely. Good luck to you as well. Mike Eisen in the Desert. Come up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.